heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in the studio as we answer your questions from around the world. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, the number to dial to get your questions answered on today's broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK. Some of you may have tuned in for the Bible Answer Man Facebook live presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. That's going to resume this Thursday, so look forward to that. I'll try to do some updates on that in the very near future. Studio still a work in progress, but we'll be in good shape, hopefully by Thursday, as we continue reaching out, not only through terrestrial radio, satellite radio, but through digital media platforms, impacting people from around the world 24/7. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. You can start calling now. I do want to do something over the next few days that I hope you find informative, important, and interesting. I want to contrast Islam with Christianity. I've often said, repeating what Os Guinness has made famous, and that is, contrast is the mother of clarity. And so what I would like to do is contrast what Muslims believe with respect to the essentials of the historic Christian faith and what Christians believe. And let's start today with the deity of Jesus Christ. I think it's important to recognize that someone becomes adept at spotting counterfeit money, not because they handle all the counterfeits, but they handle the real so often, and they're so familiar with the real, that by contrast, a counterfeit is apparent to them readily. And what is true with respect to counterfeit currency is likewise true with respect to counterfeit religions. So when we think about the deity of Jesus Christ, we can immediately recognize the counterfeit of Islam when we're familiar with the real. And this is not just a peripheral issue. This is the mother of all questions. Jesus comes to Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Now, Muslims have a very different answer to that question than Christians have to that question. A Muslim will answer by saying that though Jesus was virgin-born, though Jesus was sinless, though Jesus was a worker of miracles, though he was a way-shower for Muhammad, in the end, he was only a man. But Jesus answered the same question in a very different way. He claimed that he was the unique Son of God. And he not only made that claim, but he backed up the claim. He backed up the claim by resurrecting not only Lazarus, but resurrecting himself from the dead. Who can do that? But only God. I think it's also important to underscore the fact that while the Quran exhorts Muhammad to seek forgiveness for his sins, you find that in Quran 47, the Bible exonerates Messiah, saying overtly that Jesus had no sin. In fact, Jesus asked the rhetorical question, can anyone prove that I am guilty of sin? The answer is no. No one could allege that Jesus had sinned. But I think there's something just as important. Not only did Jesus claim that he was God, not only did his miracles attest to the fact that he is God, but the biblical text clearly claims that Jesus Christ is God. And you can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. And let me just bring a couple of texts to your mind. And for those listening in, who not only want to hear but remember, note that I'm just going to use, for memory purposes, ones. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Or Colossians chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. But there are many other ones. For example, you have Hebrews 1. According to God the Father himself in Hebrews chapter 1, Jesus is God. The words are poignant and profound about the Son. The Father says, your throne, O God, will last forever. The counterfeit Christ of the Quran could not be more different from the crystal Christ of the Bible. Again, far from being God, he's rendered but the slave of a law. Now, it's one thing for a law to disagree with the biblical position. It's quite another for him to completely misapprehend it. The whole of Scripture precludes the possibility that Christ is anything other than the pre-existent sovereign of the universe. The deity of Christ, mother of all questions, it is the first thing I want to bring to your attention today in order to contrast Islam with Christianity when it comes to the essentials of the Christian faith. Tomorrow I'll bring another one of the issues directly to you. A lot of you hanging on will go right to the phone lines. James first, listening in New York, Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Yes, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing great, thank
you.
Can
you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So my question tonight is, I know a person who believes in Jesus Christ, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, should never commit suicide. I had a family friend on last week, for years, confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, a regular church goer, but for some reason, he committed suicide. And, you know, family friends, you know, they, like, asking questions, you know, about where will his soul reside since he committed what we would call self-murder, even though he confessed and believed in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it's a good question. And I think that what you're alluding to in the prologue to the question is true, and that is that we cannot suggest that because someone committed suicide, they committed an unforgivable sin and therefore would not be in the presence of God. Now, having said that, I quickly add this. Suicide is murder. And therefore, if someone, particularly a Christian, is in their right mind, they should never even contemplate the idea of murder. But one could imagine that someone is despondent, disconsolable, and because of that, in a state where they're really not in their right mind, doing something that is unthinkable, and that would not preclude them from being in eternity with God. So suicide is the murder of oneself. It's a direct violation of the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. It's a direct attack on the sovereignty of the very person who knit us together in our mother's wombs. So we should never contemplate it, but we cannot say on the basis of Scripture that it is the unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin is an ongoing, willing, conscious rejection of the grace and goodness, the truth that could be yours.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for calling, James. Important question. I wrote about this in the Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, available for those who support the ministry. Sam next in Newark, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Awesome. Hank, I wanted to, I was piggyback on one of your comments in regards to the Muslims and why they believe or the issue with Jesus Christ and their rejection of Jesus Christ. Also going back to a call that I called in about a couple weeks ago. Now, this is not in support of the Muslims, but and it's not going to be something that I know we can agree upon because it's been divisive within the Christian umbrella for over 2,000 years from the onset. But it's not just Muslims. Even Christianity is divided on the identity or the deity or relationship of Jesus Christ to God. But the one thing that I want to be clear is a Christian, it's not imperative. Now, I understand that you're a Trinitarian. Many of the listeners are Trinitarian, and mainstream Christianity is Trinitarian. But the Bible can be interpreted many different ways, but it's not directly implied that the Son of God equates that he is God. Many scriptures can be rendered differently, and we have to understand that we're reading the Bible in its English translation. For example, John 1:1, when we read it, we say that the Son or the Word is God, capital G. But in original Greek, there is no capital or lowercase g. As a matter of fact, the only way to understand that the Word is God or is God Almighty is by the definite article the. And in that chapter, that verse, that is not there. So therefore, it is.
Well, but let me stop you a second. Because what you're saying is simply untrue. First of all, there's nothing more clear than in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that the Word has to do with Jesus Christ because a few verses later, John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But, you know, Christianity is never dependent on a singular text, and that's why I quoted earlier many other texts, like Hebrews chapter 1, where the Father says about the Son, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. Or if you think of the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, God the Father applies the Alpha and Omega to himself. I am the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the first, I'm the last, I'm the beginning, I'm the end. And then in Revelation chapter 22, Jesus uses these words and applies them to himself as God in human flesh. So the Bible over and over again says that Jesus Christ is God. But Jesus' miracles attest to the fact that he is God. Moreover, Jesus himself says, I and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen God. So the Bible's unequivocal on this point, and as I mentioned in the opening of the broadcast, this is not a debatable issue. Now, this is an essential of the historic Christian faith. There is nothing more essential than to believe that Jesus Christ is God on the basis of a biblical worldview, because were he not God, he couldn't be our Savior. Coming to station break, we'll be right back with more of the Bible Answers Man broadcast and your questions.
We live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick postscript to what I was saying about the deity of Jesus Christ. In reference to our last caller, important to recognize that what is being said about this being a debatable issue or a matter of interpretation, it is not. When we talk about the deity of Jesus Christ, or the Trinity for that matter, we're talking about the main and the plain things of Scripture. They are so clear that a child can understand them deep enough for a theologian to drown in their profundity. But this idea that the Greek somehow or other negates Jesus Christ as God is ill-conceived. The term in the Greek for theos, or God, is applied to the Father, but also applied to Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate, his incarnate, and in his post-resurrection state. When it's used to the Father, the Greek is virtually a proper name. When Jesus is referenced, it's used as a generic title descriptive of one who belongs in the category of deity. And in that way, it points not to Christ's function or to his office, but to his very nature. And again, you can add to all the ones that I referenced earlier, John 1, Colossians 1, 2 Peter 1, Hebrews 1, Revelation 1. You can add Romans chapter 9, Titus chapter 2, many other verses. The only reason I used ones is for the information to stick in your mind. Let's go back to the phone lines. Marcus in San Mateo, California. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I hope you're doing well. I just had a really quick two questions.
Sure.
So what do the Arabic Christians call God? Do they call Allah? Or is that okay for us to mention God as Allah when we're speaking about God to a Muslim?
Well, absolutely, because the issue is not the word that you're using. The issue is the meaning that you're pouring into the word. So long before Muslims were using the word Allah for the alter ego of Muhammad, Christians in the Middle East were using the word Allah for the one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct.
Okay, thanks for answering that. And another question that I know you wouldn't know for sure, but just asking what you think. So where do you think Muhammad got the message from? Do you think was a demon that appeared to him and gave him the Muslim message, the Quran, or do you think it was just a made-up story to control the region and gain power?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting. According to the narrative, the Islamic narrative, Muhammad himself did not know whether he was poet or possessed. And he finally decided that he was neither possessed nor perhaps a really good poet, but that he was the prophet of Allah. And unfortunately, Muhammad, he very conveniently used the kind of alter ego that I was describing earlier as a pretext for doing virtually anything that he wanted to do. Aisha, his child bride, even said somewhat sarcastically, it seems as though Allah hastens to meet your every desire. So whenever he wanted something, he conveniently got an ayah from above, which allowed him to engage in the most barbaric behavior imaginable. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to James. He's listening in Maplewood, New Jersey, listening on the web. Hi, James.
Hi, James. Hi, Hank.
How you doing?
Piggybacking on the comments you made about the Trinity and whether it's debatable or not, the word theos is actually used on many others and even on human beings, but that doesn't mean that the scripture speaks of Jesus Christ as being the one and only true God. See, I think the difference is the word divine doesn't only necessarily apply to God Almighty.
And well, that's a brilliant comment on your part.
It can be rendered to understand that God is that's referring to,
yeah,
is not speaking of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Jesus Christ was resurrected. He didn't resurrect himself. It says God resurrected
him. No, that's not true. The first part of what you said was true, but you know, the Bible both says that God the Father resurrected Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit resurrected Jesus Christ, and that Jesus himself was responsible for his own resurrection. So all three are mentioned in Scripture. But I think that your comment is, in fact, a brilliant comment. You're absolutely right. There are human beings that are referred to as gods. The devil is referred to as God. And so your point, a brilliant point, a point that should be underscored in red, is absolutely true. So how do you determine this? You have to determine this by the context of Scripture, the main and the plain teachings of Scripture. And that is what I was attempting to do in the opening to the broadcast. I was pointing out that the Bible very clearly says that Jesus Christ is God. The miracles that Jesus Christ did demonstrate that he is God. And the Bible clearly underscores the fact that Jesus Christ is God in the passages that I referenced earlier. So I believe in the Trinity because the Trinity is clearly communicated in Scripture. The word is not used, but the concept of one God revealed in three persons eternally distinct is inviolate in the Scriptures. And by the way, if there was not a Trinitarian God, we would not have, absent the universe, a God of love. And that would be a big, big problem, not only for a biblical worldview, but any worldview in general.
Why?
Well, because absent the universe, you would have no one to love. Love always demands that there is a lover and a beloved, and it certainly helps to have a witness to the love relationship as well. So a Unitarian God, by definition, cannot manifest the attribute of love.
But you still have the love and the beloved between the Father and Son. One doesn't have to be equal to the other to be one. The miracles.
No. You're missing my point, but you're right in what you just said. I think you missed my point, but you're absolutely right in what you just said.
Right. But with Jesus Christ, all the miracles and everything that he did is because the scripture clearly states that he said himself, the Father gave him authority. God gave him authority. When he was resurrected, he said he would have sent to his God.
Yeah.
So
well, here's the thing.
He has a God that he worships or believes in. How is it that when he's showing you who God is, that we're implying that he is God himself?
Yeah.
And I think there's a misunderstanding because in Christianity, I get it. There's Trinitarians, there's Unitarians, but they're using the same Bible. So there's a clear, distinct reason when we say the Bible.
Now, in Christianity, there's no such thing as a Unitarian. Christians are uniformly Trinitarian. And the reason is this is how God has revealed himself to us. Over and over again, we're told that there is but one God. We're also told in Scripture that the Son is God, the Father is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. I think, furthermore, it's important for us to recognize that when we're talking about Jesus in the incarnation, he's one person with two natures. And That is a mystery of the Christian faith. It is, again, communicated in Scripture. There are things that Jesus does not know from the perspective of his humanity. He does know from the perspective of his divinity. And he voluntarily veils the prerogative of divinity, taking on the form of a servant. So Jesus is never divested from a single attribute of deity, but his deity is veiled. So we have one person, two natures, eternally distinct, you know, 100% human, 100% God. If Jesus is not the eternal Son of God, then God cannot be love. That's a point that I think you need to grapple with, and I think this may be something that you think about instead of calling under different names. I think probably what would be really good is to cogitate upon the things that I've said. I mean, I think sometimes people just don't want to be convinced by the facts. This is one of those areas in which we ought to be convinced by the facts. I think about Jesus claiming the very words by which God revealed himself to Moses from the burning bush, John 8. I tell you the truth, and this is Jesus speaking, before Abraham was born, I am. And you might, as an individual, miss what Jesus was speaking about, but I would tell you something. The antagonists of Jesus in the first century knew precisely what he was saying. And therefore, his antagonists picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself, slipping away, as we know from Scripture, from the temple grounds. I'd also point out that Jesus claims to the Jews that he and the Father are one. Remember, this is the famous passage in John chapter 10. The Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? Well, Jesus was really calling them on the carpet, and so they said, we're not stoning you for any of this, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim that you are God. So again, you might be confused about this, but I will tell you the first century antagonists of Jesus Christ knew precisely what he was claiming. And of course, he backed up his claims by doing the miraculous, and they couldn't deny the miracles, so they had to say, well, we see the miracles, but you're doing those miracles by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. We're coming to station break. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that we are able to do what we do because people like you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Got some incredible resources available for those who support the ministry. The Last Christians, one of those resources. You can find it on the web at equip.org, or my book, Muslim, available for those who support the ministry all this month. We'll be back with a quote of the day and more answers.
Ideas have consequences, and in the case of Islam, the consequences historically have been unimaginably brutal. To believe that Islam is a religion of peace is a potentially fatal fiction. This is the time for naive and trusting Christians to take their heads out of the sand. True Islam has zero appreciation for the freedoms of Western democracies and would substitute the dehumanizing oppression of Sharia law in a heartbeat if given the chance. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Tell Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The quote of the day comes from Donald Fairbairn. He is a professor of early Christianity at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. That's right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. He's the author of a book that I really, really love, Life in the Trinity. And he's going to be a guest on my podcast, Hank Unplugged Podcast, this Thursday. To give you a little background before I give you the actual quote, let me simply mention to you, in light of what we've been talking about in the earlier two segments of the broadcast, that Allah completely misapprehends Trinitarian theology. Not only does he suppose the biblical God to be the third of three, he supposes Mary to be the third person of the triad. That, of course, is completely wrong-headed. In concert with Jews, Christians have always been fiercely monotheistic. And there's not the slightest hint in the whole of the Bible that Mary is God. So while the Trinity is incomprehensible, the doctrine is hardly incoherent. And that leads me directly into Donald Fairbairn's quote, which is our quote of the day. Christian monotheism, he says, affirms the presence of the three eternal divine persons who are united in such a way as to be a single God and whose love for one another is the basis for all human life. These persons are not separate. That would imply that they are different gods, but they are distinct as persons, and this distinction is what makes it possible for God to share love within himself from all eternity. Again, the quote of the day, Donald Fairbairn, and it'll be up on the web shortly. Let's go back to the phone line. A lot of you calling in today. Bruce, listening in Seattle, Washington, KCIS. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Hank. Very thankful that your treatment is going well. We pray that it continues and that you can serve us for many more years to come.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to preface my question by saying that I made three trips to China to work in the underground churches to educate them on how to evangelize Muslims, because people may not be aware, but Islam is growing quickly in China.
That's right.
My question is, related to that experience, I stopped going because I realized there were bigger theological issues that were not being addressed in the underground church, and I became concerned that about this, and I just felt I couldn't continue. My question for you, Hank, is related to that. You know, historically, I've listened to the Bible Answer Man since Mr. Martin hosted it many, many years ago, and have enjoyed really sound teaching. But it seems recently that there's more and more of a focus on the threat of Islam, which I acknowledge is very real. But my concern is, you know, it seems that it's at the expense of discussion about the theology of the cross versus the theology of glory, about the distinction between monergism and synergism, orthodoxy and heterodoxy. And so I guess my question is, why the focus so intensely on the threat represented by Islam rather than these more subtle, less obvious threats to orthodoxy than Islam will ever pose?
Well, first of all, I don't necessarily agree that they are more significant than any threat that Islam will ever pose. But the reason that I'm focused on Islam at this particular juncture is I spent 3 years writing a book called Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. And so, obviously, I want people to understand this issue. I think it's very, very relevant to our times, not only because of terrorist attacks, but also because of the threat of migration without assimilation, which I've likened in the book to a python swallowing its prey with a long and slow digestion. I also recognize a very, very significant reality, and that is Islam is directly and overtly seeking to tear the very heart out of the Christian faith. Not only, as I mentioned in the first part of the show, with respect to the deity of Jesus Christ, but also with respect to his crucifixion, an overt denial of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And then on top of all of that, you have the attendant problem that if Christ is not crucified, he was not resurrected. So Islam counters all of the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Let's go back to the phone lines. I'm going to talk next to Steve in Charlotte, North Carolina. Steve is listening on WHVN. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Yeah, I was calling to say that I really appreciate that there's a voice that can have much greater reach than mine talking on the subject of Islam. After September 11th, I got a copy of the Quran and studied that and got a number of books on the history of Islam as well as the Crusades, and have found that the American public is woefully ignorant on the reality of it, and they're not aware of what the Bible has to say on the subject of Islam and the dangers that it poses. And I'm just really grateful that you're able to have found the same things I did and get the message out there.
Well, thank you. It is a privilege to be able to do that. And as I just mentioned to our last caller, I spent the last 3 years on this book project. Obviously, I've been talking about Islam for the entirety of my ministry, but have devoted 3 years to primary research, and the book is now out. It's in bookstores everywhere as of October 10th. For that, I am grateful, and I'm also grateful for the reviews that the book is receiving. It is a book, I think, that is timely, and I think that'll be borne out in the days and weeks and months to come.
I agree with that. I marked my copy of the Quran and a lot of critical passages and earmarked tabs in them so I can easily present passages to people. And it's amazing. You can show them the actual passages right to their face, and they still want to say, oh, no, this isn't right. Islam is a peaceful, loving religion, and this just can't be right at all. And they've got the words in front of their face. It's just amazing how willing people are to be blind to reality sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. And I think this underscores another salient point, and that is we are called not to change anybody's mind. That is the province of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be effective tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And there are Muslims that do come to faith in Christ. We had a Muslim that lived in our home for a full year. And during that time, I not only led him to faith in Christ, but during that year, I was able to disciple him, baptize him, and he became a reproducing disciple maker himself. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Nancy, Wesley Chapel, Florida, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Nancy. Do I have contact with Nancy?
Hello?
Oh, yes, I got contact. Hi, Nancy.
Oh, hey. So I appreciate you taking my call, and I just wanted to say my understanding of Islam is that it came through Muhammad in order to correct the errors of the Bible, and I just look forward to hearing your response to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem is precisely the opposite of Muhammad correcting the errors of the Bible. The problem with Islam is that Muhammad did not understand the very religions that he was tapping into. So Islam is a composite faith. It has pagan, Jewish, Christian elements all mixed together. And the pagan elements, of course, were borrowed from the old Arabian idolatry. The warp and woof of the Quran from Talmudic Judaism and the mystic beliefs and ascetic practices of later Islam from Christianity. So this is a muddy mixture that is animistic. It has pagan superstition. It has exaggerated nationalism, and obviously it wants to supersede all that Jesus Christ did and taught. It is a religion that is simply a made-up religion, and the made-up religions are the simple ones in some sense. And I have mentioned this before. In fact, I think this was the quote of the day yesterday, if I recall correctly. Days are going by very, very quickly. But I mentioned yesterday that the teachings of Jesus, according to the Quran, are a curious amalgam of material. They are derived from the New Testament, but interestingly enough, not only misunderstood, but mixed in are the writings of heretical and schismatic sects. And you have just enough orthodoxy. So if you don't know what you're talking about, you're going to be fooled. So for example, in Islam, you have a little bit of the virgin birth, a little bit of the idea of Jesus as the Word of God, even if improperly understood, a bit of Gnosticism, a little bit of hyper-Arianism, in other words, what we talked about earlier, the denial of the divinity of Jesus Christ, but many other things, the rejection of his divinity, the various religions it borrows from, it misapprehends and then comes up with this unsavory stew. Again, we have a quote of the day, which we put up on the web yesterday in this regard, but you can always also find it in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. I want to take some more calls, but I don't think I have enough time. We're running out of time. We have less than a minute left, so my apologies to those that I could not answer their calls today. Please call me tomorrow. I'll try to answer your question on the air tomorrow. Also, remember, we are bringing in the social media platforms. We're going to be back on social media, melding it with the Bible Answerman broadcast on Thursday's broadcast. And also my thanks for all of those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I couldn't do what I do. So I just ask people to stand shoulder to shoulder with me by supporting this ministry. Be happy to equip you in the process by sending you my book, Muslim, or the book, The Last Disciples, a fantastic book by Andreas Knopp. You can find that on the web at equip.org. Either one available for your gift. We'll be right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today.
Again, that's equip.org/app.